Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Margot from Borum Hill in Brooklyn, and you're listening to Soundcheck from WNYC.
3, that's a magic number. Three. Yes, it is. It's the magic number.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. David Mitchell is the author of books like Ghostwritten, Cloud Atlas, and his latest, The Bone Clocks. It's a time-leaping story that blends the very real with the very fantastical and includes quite a few musical references along the way, so it only makes sense that we would ask David Mitchell to join us today on Soundcheck with one of our occasional Pick 3 playlists. David, welcome.
Thank you very much, John. Great to be here.
So it doesn't take long for a reader of The Bone Clocks to start getting the message that music is important to the characters and presumably to you.
Oh, yes, yeah. I couldn't imagine a life without music and wouldn't want to. It's one of the great reasons to be alive, that, food and a number of other things, yeah.
And page one, first page of the novel, we are introduced to a character who is in love with the third record by Talking Heads, the album Fear of Music.
Yeah.
Was this an important record to you?
It's a fabulous record. It sounds better now than it did then. For me, it was a record that taught me that rock, pop music can be cerebral. It can invite you to think and swing and have rhythm and have that propulsive force and that transporting force that the best music does. But until I met this record, I was about 12, 13 years old at the time, but I didn't realise that music can do what books also invite you to do, to think and to take you on a kind of a story or a journey, and do more than that. If literature could do exactly what music does, then you wouldn't need music.
But it's, and possibly vice versa.
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure. Writers are often very jealous of musicians. They get to perform in front of their audience rather than absently at long distance, at great removes in time and space. I think most writers secretly fantasize at
not
some point.
So secretly,
or not so secretly.
The first time Jonathan Lethem was on our show, he just came out and said, if I could write a song, I wouldn't write novels. If I could write songs, that's what I would do.
That is characteristically honest of Jonathan.
Yeah. We meet right out of the box in the book. There are many, many characters with important roles to play, but Holly Sykes is kind of our through line. She's 15 when we meet her. She's in love, she thinks, and she's got this record. And the song that she's particularly keen on is one that actually, the theme of this song sort of comes back later on in the book. But let's hear a little bit of the song Heaven.
Everyone is trying to get to the bar. Name of the bar. Bar is called Heaven. The band in Heaven.
Talking Heads from their 1979 album Fear of Music. The song is Heaven, which is mentioned early in David Mitchell's book called The Bone Clocks, and then mentioned again later, a couple of hundred pages later, just kind of in passing. Holly is still talking about Talking Heads many, many years later. But there is a moment, I think it's on page 2 or 3, where Holly takes that record and she tosses it into the river. And reading that, I got to tell you, reading that, I had the same reaction as if she had burned a book. It was just like, no!
Don't take it out on the record. Well, she had an unfortunate experience with the young man who you alluded to earlier, John, who she thought she was in love with, and as that record was a sort of a love gift from him early on in their relationship, she has taken it out on the record, and it's probably still there somewhere on the bed of the River Thames.
That album, as with the second and the fourth Talking Heads albums, that album was produced by Brian Eno. Mm. Are you a fan of his?
Yeah, I am. He's great writing music. It's non-vocal. You can't work when someone is singing anything in a language that you have any knowledge of at all. And it needs to be stimulating enough to sort of propel you and to keep you... just to keep you working, but not so stimulating that it yanks you out of the rather meditative state that writing is, yet still stimulating enough that if you drop out, it'll just gently nudge you back. So Eno and Bach are my two great writing companions, actually.
So you do listen to that music while in the process, in the act of writing.
Yeah. You kind of choose your music rather like I choose my tea. It depends where I am in the book and what mood I'm in and what the weather's doing that particular day. But oddly enough, when I'm at a sort of conceptual stage mm-hmm. in the work, then I like relatively conceptual music. But if I'm, say, proofreading in the last stages, then somewhat more taxing music, or more music with more music in it, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. is helpful then.
So, you know, you mentioned some of Eno's ambient music, which he actually wrote should be as ignorable as it is interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a funny way, it echoes what we just heard in the Talking Heads song. You know, heaven is a place where nothing ever happens. Eno's music for airports is, you know...
Where nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
It just kind of... Yet it's brilliant. And that's the mystery at the heart of that music. How can something basically without a melody, basically without a direction, still? It's like a sonic stained glass window. It's sort of all there at once, and it's beautiful. But it doesn't stop you doing other things as well. It just sort of enhances your hour. It's mysterious, isn't it?
Yeah. And you can write about it till the cows come home and still not, you know, and that's one of the great things about music is just how elusive it is.
Yes, yeah.
So the structure of the novel is kind of unusual, as it was with Cloud Atlas before. You refer to it as six novellas, is that right?
Yeah.
All intertwined, and this might be a sign versus thing signified kind of question, but when you do... you know, sprinkle music in, whether it's popular music or, you know, someone's talking about Bruckner's Ninth or, you know, Maria Callas singing Traviata. You know, do they tell us something about these characters? Do the songs, are they chosen for that kind of effect?
They're never chosen at random. They're always chosen with a lot of thought and research. I think our tastes in music do... give information about who we are and what we love and obviously what our tastes are and rather like our clothes or even in extreme cases, John, our choice of football team. I understand you're an Arsenal man, which tells me all about you that I need to know, matey.
says the Liverpool fan.
Yeah, I do think about the music a lot and... it adds texture to not only the novellas but to the characters who love that music. This isn't an original invention, of course.
Right, right.
Murakami does it a lot.
Then my follow-up question is: you're all over the map stylistically in this book. There are classical pieces, opera, you know, pop music of many different stripes. You're asking a lot of your listeners to be able to pick up on those cues that you're dropping.
I don't think, and it would be impossible really, or certainly unrealistic to expect all readers to know all this music, but I don't think that's totally necessary. You can sort of make generalizations about someone who's who's referencing a relatively obscure classical reference or jazz without needing necessarily to know the music. And that's one of the reasons why God invented the internet as well, of course. You can just go and listen to it these days.
Absolutely. Now, the Pick Three playlist that you brought us today, we started with Talking Heads, who are in the novel. Duke Pearson is next. Not in the novel, but what do you like about this?
Well, he's in my first novel. He's in Ghost Written, a reference to that piece of music there. It's this music's called After the Rain, and it makes me smell a garden after the rain. It's a rare piece of music. It actually triggers that part of my brain that uses that's sensitive to smell, to fragrance. Huh. And I just walk through when I hear this, especially when the flute starts. I can I'm in a garden all wet with rain, and I've been. This piece of music for me is a place. And I've been to this place, I've been listening to it maybe 30 years, this piece of music's been in my life.
Duke Pearson and After the Rain, the jazz pianist, Blue Note producer, and a favorite of my guest, David Mitchell, author of the new book, The Bone Clocks. You mentioned that Duke Pearson appears in Ghost Written.
Yeah.
And so do, not that they're in Ghost Written, but this kind of bringing characters, you know, referencing things that you've written before, happens in the new book as well.
Yes, it does. Maybe more in this one than any of my other books. I'm sort of more self-consciously, in a way, making this other universe made up of my books. It's not that I'm doing prequels or sequels. Sort of the first principle is that each book has to be a standalone that could theoretically be the first thing of mine you've ever read, and it needs to work in and of itself. But if you have read other books, then you will recognise major characters in other novels making brief appearances here, or minor characters like Hugo Lamb, who just exists in a book I wrote some years ago called Black Swan Green, and he's only a very minor character there, but he's sort of the joint second most important protagonist in this one.
Right. And then there's Dr. Marinus, or Marinus, however you pronounce it.
Marinus is
fine. Marinus, who also appears in your opera libretto.
Oh, well researched. Not many people know that.
I have done some work with Michel van der Aa.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. He emailed me this morning.
Yeah. He's the composer of Sunken Garden. You're the librettist. Yeah. So obviously you do more than just listen to music. You've been you've been down in the trenches with the composer.
Well, he made it very easy for me. He just asked me to write the words first, and he worked the music around it. But you can learn a lot from musicians and from composers.
Now, how different an experience is that, telling a story through an opera libretto, from a series of intertwined or interlocked novellas or a sprawling novel?
Well, you have to do less, which sounds easier, not necessarily, because that less has to be less, which is more. You don't have control over anything but the words, actually, whereas with a book, now, if you're describing a storm, then it's your job to describe it and to animate it and to make it work on the page. Whereas In a libretto, you can just write the words "a storm,"
right,
and then it's someone else's job to make it work. Yeah, of course, every word has to count. Every line, every phrase has to earn its living within the greater whole. Whereas novels are necessarily baggier, more capacious, more forgiving, maybe more generous forms.
Well, your latest is certainly a generous one. The Bone Clocks is the latest novel by David Mitchell, who's been sharing a Pick 3 playlist with us here on Soundcheck today. So your third pick, which we'll conclude with, Patrick Watson, the Canadian musician and songwriter.
Yeah.
What do you like about his work and The Great Escape?
His voice is just one of those you immediately arresting, distinctive voices. It's truffles, it's dark coffee, it's velvety, it's just a beautiful divine gift of a voice. And this song in particular, for me, this song, it's one of those examples where you sort of you bring a meaning to a piece of music, but that doesn't mean it's not valid. It's reading. It's called The Great Escape, and for me, a book is a great escape, no matter what else is going on in your life. If the book is working for you, then all books, in a way, are wardrobes into Narnia. They're all ways into another world, and you come back somehow refreshed and able to see things in a different way. Reading's a great gift, like music.
Well, let's hear The Great Escape from Patrick Watson. David Mitchell, thank you so much for being with us on Soundcheck.
I've had a great time. Thank you for having me.
Bad day, looking for a way home, looking for the great escape. Gets in his car and drives away, far from all the things that we are.
Soundcheck is a production of WNYC in New York. Find out more about our show at soundcheck.org or just download the new WNYC mobile app. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.